The reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here ends the reading.
Eugene Peterson, the translator of the Message, passed away this week. And we're talking about blessed are the pure in heart. I just wanted to read his translation of Matthew 5:8. "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. How do we get our insides right? How can we be pure in heart? How can we see God? I'm fascinated by this verse, and I'd like to reverse. Let's talk about what does it mean to see God, and then we can talk about what's a pure heart. Now, I'm amazed I have a voice because I've been suffering with laryngitis most of the week. I went to my doctor, but I called his office and I said, "Can I see Dr. So-and-so?" What if the receptionist had said, "Yes, if you want to see Dr. So-and-so, just go to our practice webpage and there's a picture of him there." That wouldn't have helped at all, right? But sometimes I think when I've not really seen a picture, but I've heard a lot about him. But that wasn't going to help me. I actually needed to see my doctor, to have an encounter with him. And we need to have some sense that there's a God out there. We can't see them. The just shall walk by faith, not sight. But some sense. We want to see God in the sense that I wanted to see my doctor. Now, several years ago, we had the honor of hosting Philip Yancey at Union Church for several days, and many of you remember what a wonderful writer he is. But he wrote a very unique tribute to Eugene Peterson, who was a close friend of his. And he talks about the story that Eugene Peterson tells in his autobiography called The Pastor. Eugene Peterson, like me, was a Presbyterian minister. Unlike me, he started a brand new church. And for 29 years, he was at the same church. But he said it was kind of a rough startup, and he didn't get much help from the home office. The Presbyterian Church headquarters were in New York City at that time. So he was told that every month he had to send a two-page letter to New York City. First page, all the statistics. Second page, kind of a narrative of what's going on in his life and ministry. After a few months, he got the idea that they were really interested in the first page, but didn't care at all about the second page. So in conversation with his wife, Jan, Eugene Peterson said, let's see what happens here. If I write a little different sort of report. And so he wrote, I am very, very depressed in ministry. I have trouble even getting up in the morning. Could you please send me the name of a psychologist or counselor I could talk to? Not a word. The next month, he sent the report. I'm really having a problem with alcohol, and I think it's getting in the way of my ministry. Not a word from New York. A few months later, he talked to Jan. He said, okay, this will get their attention. He said, please help me. I'm having an affair with a woman in the church, and we got caught in the sanctuary by the flower ladies. What should I do? Not a word. So then he wrote, Presbyterian liturgy is pretty dull. I tried to spice things up by using psychedelic mushrooms. What do you think about that as a liturgical innovation? Not a word. After 3 years, he was called up to New York City to the Presbyterian headquarters and had a performance review. And they commended him for the really good job he'd done in starting this church. He said, but did you read my full reports, the narrative, the page two? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He said, are you sure you did? Then how come you didn't give me any advice about my depression, my alcoholism, my adultery, and my use of drugs? And he said, and I'm going to date myself, and this is the younger congregation. Anyone ever heard of Abbott and Costello? He said it was like an Abbott and Costello comedy for these bureaucrats to fall all over themselves and point the blame to somebody else. But sometimes I think people feel that way about God. We pray. And we wonder, does he read part two, page two of our prayers? We want that encounter with God. We want to see God. Second definition, quite apart from sight, is to experience God. There's a family going through a really, really rough time. And I asked if I could use this. They said, you never know, but God has plans. Take the first step. Courage. Walk humbly forward. But as I talked to this family, they have experienced God in some very special ways. How about you? Now, again, story from Yancey about Eugene Peterson. He made a whole lot of money on the message. Millions of copies were sold. He said, I'm a pastor. What do I do with all this money? Wouldn't that be a pleasant problem? But as he became more and more famous, Philip Yancey was asked to be the interviewer of Eugene Peterson, where some very prominent people could come and listen to him answer all the difficult questions of Christianity. Now, as you know, Philip Yancey's written a number of books, including Disappointment with God. So he had, and this audience had, some really hard questions for Eugene Peterson. And Yancey said he would ask a question, and Eugene Peterson would sit there and just think for a minute, which must have seemed like 5 minutes. And at the end, he would say, I don't know. A few weeks ago, we had a business school of one of the competitors of that school that Mr. Slayton was talking about in worship. And I was talking to him afterwards. He says, yes, I'm a professor, but I'm also a consultant, but I'm a really lousy consultant. I said, why is that? He said, because I listen to everything, and sometimes I say, I don't know. And people don't like paying consultants a bunch of money to hear, I don't know. But we have to be honest as Christians. And let's not use the Lord's name in vain or bear false witness to give an answer that probably is not from the Lord. And there are times when we just don't know, when we're going through a very difficult time. I am a fuddy-duddy old Presbyterian. When someone comes up to me and says, God has told me that, I get a little concerned. Now, I believe God does speak, but I think he speaks primarily through his word. And I get very concerned, and this first started when I was in college, when somebody I really liked, before I could ask her out, someone else had said, God has told me that you're supposed to date me. And that's the first, but not the last time the God card has been used against me. But be very, very careful of speaking for God. But let me tell you what happened to me last week. As I announced that I would be leaving and talked to people throughout the day, it was a very poignant time. And at the 5:15 service, after just about everyone had left, somebody came back and said, can I pray for you? I said, sure. And Holly and I are thinking and praying about different things. And this person had no idea. They had no idea. And it was one of the most prophetic prayers I've ever heard. And this person suggested several things. God, you're going to use Greg and Holly and this and that. And I'm going, how does this person know? And then they suggested something that I hadn't even thought about. And the hair on the back of my head stood up. I was like, wow, what is going on here? God does speak. And for me, that was a wonderful experience. And I pray, and people have been telling me afterwards, yes, just when things were really bad, I had this sense of God. I saw God in a special way. Or as the Eugene Peterson translation says, that when we get the insides right, then we see God at work on the outside. And the thing that is most precious to me right now is when people come up and say, remember 7 years ago, or remember 8 years ago, or there was a guy who has been gone for 6 years, and he came back to find a big hole in the ground where his church used to be. But he found his way to our service this morning. But just to share how God has been at work in his life. Sometimes we look back and say, yes, it's very clear that God was working there. But to see God is to have that sense, an experience, an encounter. But I love the songs we sang. There were some golden oldies and some new ones that talked about the blood of Christ. And because of the blood of Christ, that one day we will see God. And this is a future-looking beatitude. They shall see God. We are going to have glimpses now, but there's going to be glory then beyond our fondest dreams. And thank goodness we can see God face to face, not because of the lives we've led, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I want to see God now, and I want to see God in my future, but I'm not so sure I want to have a pure heart. What does it mean to have a pure heart? Happy, blessed are the pure in heart. I have the honor and joy of working with some people on Wednesday nights. We're going through The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I'm learning a lot from Bonhoeffer. I'm learning a lot from the people in the class. And someone says that they want to be devoted and undivided. Now, I think that's a pure heart, devoted and undivided. And I think if you want a pure heart, you're going to have to simplify and you're going to have to purify. Now, what does simplify mean? One of our singers told me today that she had laryngitis for a week. Well, I've had laryngitis for almost a week. And when I got to see my doctor, actually see him, talk to him, encounter experience, he said, "You have a virus." I said, "Quick, give me some antibiotics." And he said, "No, this is going to take time." He said, "Drink hot fluids. I can give you some medication. But I promise you, if you stop talking for several days, you will be able to preach on Sunday. If you do not stop talking, I can't make that promise." So I said, "I'm going to stop talking. I dare you to try to stop talking." I'm not known as the friendliest person on the planet, and I'll tell you, I was a lot less friendly. In fact, I was avoiding people. But I still could not stop talking. We had a council meeting. We had a staff meeting. I had a number of people who had said, "Oh, since you're leaving, we want to take you out to lunch." And I said, "I can eat without talking." No, I couldn't. And all these people and all these conversations got in the way. Very simple instruction from the doctor. Don't talk. I had to miss the hallelujah party yesterday because I still didn't have my voice back, and I knew there was no way I could go to the hallelujah party without talking. But easier said than done. Simplify. Bonhoeffer writes, "Thus the heart of the disciple must be set on Christ alone. Our hearts have room only for one all-embracing devotion." Another great Christian, Danish philosopher by the name of Søren Kierkegaard in the 19th century, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." The people who God really uses have an overriding passion. And that passion is devotion to Jesus Christ. And the rest of us say, "Yes, in theory, I want to simplify my life and focus on Jesus. But in reality, there are just so many other things." At the 8:45 service, I read the parable of Jesus and the sower. And someone came up to me, and they really weren't familiar with this parable, which is just exciting about Union Church. We have some of you who are in BSF and know the Bible better than I do, and others are like, "Wow, that's really cool. I've never heard that before." I won't read the whole parable, but I want to read Christ's interpretation of the parable. "The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." Hard-hearted. God's word falls on the heart and it just bounces. Are you a hard-hearted person? "The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away." That was the shallow soil. How many of us have shallow hearts? Yeah, we're really devoted to Jesus, but then all these other cool things come. And that brings us to the third heart. "As for that that fell among the way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." That's the weedy soil. And we do need to simplify our lives. Holly and I have a wonderful 1880 house outside of Chicago, Victorian house that we're trying to rehab. And it's got a giant, maybe 75-year-old grape vine. And I had this year, at the advice of the neighbor, to prune this thing. And I thought I'd killed it. And then he said, good start. Cut way more. I said, no. I don't want to kill this old vine. He says, no, if you want grapes, you got to prune more than you pruned. Purification can be painful. There are so many things, and as Jesus says, the cares and riches and pleasures of the world. But as for the good soil, those are the ones that when they hear the word, they hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. Only quiz of the day. I just want one hand. Has anyone read Pilgrim's Progress? Three hands. Oh, four hands. Oh, five. My heart is warmed. A Christian classic that previous generations read. There are some great children's versions of it, and I suggest you adults buy a children's version because it's a little easier to understand because the old English is kind of difficult. But there's one character that I love. I think he might be me. Mr. Facing Both Ways. And we talk about a double-hearted person. The word dubious means double. I'm going to read, first of all, from Psalm 24. And speaking of an experience of God, someone came up to me in tears and said, that's the passage that was used at my mother's funeral. Psalm 24, verses 4 through 6. Those who have clean hearts and pure clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and who do not swear deceitfully, they will receive a blessing from the Lord and the vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God in Jacob. Then let's jump to James chapter 4, verse 8, which is a summary of Psalm 24. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. First thing we need to do is simplify. What are we really ultimately about? And if that answer is anything other than Jesus and his glory, you have to rethink that question. But besides simplify, we have to purify. Now, Rick Warren has a great illustration. What would your flat smell like if you didn't empty the garbage for 2 weeks? What would your neighbor smell like if he or she hadn't had a shower or a bath in 2 weeks? Not too good. Not too good at all. We need to be cleansed. We need to be purified. We need to have short accounts with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't let all that garbage just build up. To have a pure heart is to have a heart focused on Christ and a forgiven, clean heart. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. We need to pray to God, the Father, and say, give me a clean heart, O God. We need to thank God, the Son, Jesus Christ, for providing the way to be purified. We've been justified by his action. And then we have to pray to the Holy Spirit that we would be sanctified, that we would be continually cleansed, so would not be taking a shower once a year and emptying the garbage once a year, but a daily time of introspection, confession, and then moving forward. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who've simplified and purified and cleansed their heart, for they will see God.